Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you for tuning in the day after the presidential debate last night. What a show. Apparently, 57.5 million people watched that debate, and a couple of them are joining me here right now. Matt Rothschild in studio at WUK Studios. Matt, thank you for joining me, man.
My pleasure, Dom, and congrats on the new show. It's great to hear you.
Thanks, man. It's always a pleasure. Love it when you get to hang out just working hard on the board. Thank you, Justin. It was a busy day today. A 90-minute debate.
Yeah.
How are you feeling over there, Jess?
To be totally honest with you, there are some connections in my brain that are no longer quite connected. And there's also a lot of new connections, and they're weird.
It's weird. And also, super happy to be joined by our friend, colleague in the broadcast industry, Maggie Dawn from The Maggie Dawn Show. Maggie, got to hang out with you last night at the watch party. Thank you for joining me here once again.
Heck yeah, we had to start this crazy journey at the Barrymore a few months back. My, how times have changed, my friend.
Haven't
it's like the
they?
Exact inverse of June.
It is. It's exactly the way. For all of our conservative, Republican friends out there, I just want you to know, I feel you. I do, man. When we walked in after that Joe Biden debate, when we walked out that day, I was like, oh, what is going on? This was terrible. So we share that. If we have anything in common, Matt, with our MAGAs friends out there, is that we too were disappointed with our first debate.
Well, the first debate was a disaster, and Biden had to get out. He did the right thing.
Yes.
The patriotic thing, the courageous thing. He got out. I do want to talk to people who may have been leaning toward Trump before last night, and just ask them, how can you still be leaning toward this guy? I got to believe there are lots of women in Wisconsin, lots of women in Waukesha and in Tosa and in Mequon and in La Crosse and Eau Claire and Wausau and Green Bay who saw this guy, and he reminded them of a bad boyfriend or their abusive first husband, and they didn't want to be hectored and yelled at and screamed at and rant and listen to the ranting constantly. Wow. That was the word I wrote down. I know Maggie was writing words down that, like weird, as she said in the last couple hours. But I just wrote down ranting. That's all he was doing was ranting. He wasn't telling the American people what he'd do for them. Kamala Harris did a great job of doing that, looking straight in the camera and saying how she was going to help the American people and how she was going to defend the freedom of women all across the country. And all Trump could do was repeat his little ridiculous themes from his speeches and whatever he saw on TV that morning. I mean, it was some crazy stuff.
And the last thing that one of his advisors may have told him, like, you know, immigrants eating pets. Maggie Dawn, wow. What a show last night. The impact that Trump's performance will have on the female votes. Do you think he did himself any favors with the independents and the undecided women last night, Maggie?
In a word, Dom, no. Like, how bad does it have to get? Just say you'd veto the national abortion ban. He's so stupid. He's so ego-driven that even when there is a gimme, like a softball lobbed up, that's all he would have to say. Because just like what he was saying about Kamala Harris trying to enshrine abortion rights and healthcare freedoms into law, right? The challenges that are posed when you have a divided Congress, right, are also true with the national abortion ban, of course, right? And so I don't think it's all that particularly likely that we'll see a national abortion ban actually passed by both houses of Congress. It was a no-lose proposition, and Donald Trump, the big old fatty loser, figured out a way to lose on the gimmiest question of the entire debate. Would you veto a national abortion ban? Just say yes, Donald, you freak show.
But if he did, Matt, wouldn't he then lose the evangelical vote?
Yeah, if he vetoed it, he'd have a problem with his base. You know, the thing that struck me on that whole discussion he was having on the abortion ban, you know who he reminded me of? Scott Walker. I won't have to sign.
All right.
It's not gonna, you know, I won't have to sign it. It's not going to happen. That's, of course, what Scott Walker said about, you know, right to work. It's never going to get to my desk. And the second it got on his desk, he signed it. And if Trump were reelected president, he would sign a national abortion ban the second it got on his desk.
Of course he would, right? I actually think, you know, the point about losing evangelical voters, I think he could play it off by just going on the talk show circuit, just like he did on the Florida 6 week issue, and flip flop it the next day.
Right, I mean, exactly.
It's just, he just makes stuff up whenever he wants. Just on the debate when all the independents and women are watching, just say you veto it and then change your mind tomorrow because that's Donald Trump.
And some of those evangelical voters are pretty sticky with Trump. I mean, look at all his biblical indiscretions for those folks who are into the Bible. I mean, it's crazy that they're with him in the first place.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. I got some great friends in studio with me right now. Matt Rothschild on the StreamYard, Maggie Dawn. 90 minutes of exquisiteness from Kamala Harris. Now, I do have to say, I walked in a tad late, so I understand she came out perhaps a little nervous and didn't really, you know, address the first question as well as she probably could have. But I think she warmed up. And then she got under his skin, and then she brought up the crowd size. And, you know, I'm gonna suggest something. This may seem a little strange, but go check out one of Donald Trump's rallies. And he couldn't take it. Maggie, he seemingly took the bait on everything she laid out for him, and he couldn't look her in the eyes while he was taking the bait.
It was amazing. What the image that kind of coalesced in my head was a pet owner, since they're obsessed with pets, a pet owner sort of dangling treats to get your pet to do tricks. And the pet, oh, you got another treat? Oh, great, I'll do the trick. She's like, oh, rallies. And he's like, whatever. Every single time, it was absolutely professional takedown of Donald Trump. I can just imagine the Klonopin that must be needed by the advisors for the Trump campaign in the spin room afterwards, like, go drown your sorrows. It was bad. They were popping corks back in June. I was popping corks last night.
You know, I'm watching that clip and with my wife, and you know, I play poker a lot. And so one of the things we look for are tells. And he tried to keep that placid face as she started. And then all of a sudden, the eyeballs got huge. I mean, his eyes just got gigantic. And you knew he was going to go off. And he did go off. But that wasn't the only thing she baited him on. And she was brilliant this way. She baited him on Wharton School economists.
Yes.
Knowing that he went to Wharton School and he was going to rise to that bait. He rose to that bait. She baited him on $400 million from daddy. she baited him on you know, being investigated and have to sign an agreement with the Justice Department, him and his dad, about not renting apartments to black families. She baited him on his criminal record, on his love of dictators. And the thing about his love of dictators where she said, you know, you're just going to be succumbing to flattery. He proved the point by bringing up Viktor Orban twice and saying Viktor Orban says I'm great. I mean, it was just
a great guy.
I mean, he proved exactly what Kamala Harris was trying to prove.
The effort by Donald Trump to somehow push back and get under Kamala Harris's skin, there was nothing. He was on his heels the whole time. There was probably some opportunity for him to push back and try to, you know, get Harris to, you know, nail down on something. He finally, towards the end, said something to the effect in his closing statements where we're a failing nation. You know, vote for me. We suck. And let me tell you why. Not very inspirational. But he said, well, if you had all these great ideas, why didn't you do it now? I mean, maybe if you would have said something like that before, and notwithstanding the fact it's the Biden administration, not the Harris administration yet, he'd have gotten somewhere. But it seemed to me, as far as just a debate performance, from what I saw, again, I missed the first few minutes, but she only kind of misspoke as she was gathering her thoughts and retorting to whatever Donald Trump was saying a couple of times, where she was searching for the words and finally came out and had a pause, like a pause. It took her like one pause. I noticed the one or two pauses she had while she was just, you know, debating Donald Trump. I thought, well, that's the worst thing I've seen. And Donald
you
Trump.
Wanna know,
yeah, go ahead.
Dom, you want to know why Trump never pauses? Because he's never thinking. It's just like thought out mouth. There is no processing. There's no evaluation. It is just verbal diarrhea. By the way, on the $400 million given to Donald by daddy, nearly a, you know, half a billion. Yeah. The New York Times did an investigation in 2018. And that investigation revealed that Trump had received $413 million in inflation-adjusted dollars from his father. By the way, folks, we can update that number for 2024. That's about $525 million in today's dollars. So, yeah, silver spoon, I would call it a golden chalice rammed right up his rear patoot. Yeah, half a billion.
He wishes it was that. Well, apparently it was Donald Trump. What about this, Matt? The effort by Harris to embrace, she talked about people of faith. She talked about Republicans that have supported her. She talked about foreign policy and foreign and leaders that think he's an embarrassment. I think she made an effort to reach out to perhaps some independents, perhaps, you know, some of the Republicans. She has a list of Republican endorsees. Do you think she was successful in that? If you're, again, a lot of folks aren't like us, right? They're just tuning in barely now, 57.5 million people. Do you think she was good enough in that regard?
Oh, I do. I thought she did a really good job at that. While Trump was just talking to his base, she was talking to independents and moderate Republicans. That's why she brought up Liz Cheney's name. That's why she brought up Dick Cheney's name. That's why she talked about Trump's former defense secretary, Trump's former chief of staff, a four-star general, Trump's former national security advisor, saying he's not fit for office. Those were all direct appeals to any independent or moderate Republican still on the fence wondering, do I really want to go with this guy for four more years and have him in my living room and in my head?
Turn the page, move forward. I thought it was great. Maggie Dawn, last 60 seconds, final words, please.
Yeah, her framing of abortion was perfect. Faith does not conflict with believing government should not be able to tell a woman what to do with her body. She nailed it. Bravo, Kamala Harris, our next president.
Maggie Dawn, The Maggie Dawn Show. You can listen to her 2 to 4 p.m. Thank you, Maggie. Great to see you last night. Thank you for hanging out today. Matt Rothschild, he is in studio with me at WAUK Studios. He is going to stick around, and you should stick around as well. A favorite, Dr. Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy and Justice Studies at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. He's going to join us and give us his feedback, his thoughts, his wrap-up. Of course, your calls here as well, 855-752-4888. 4-2, The Dom Salvia Show. We'll be right back. Freedom, I can't move. Freedom, cut me loose. Yeah. Freedom, freedom, where are you? Because I need freedom too. I break chains all by myself. Won't let my freedom riding. Hey, I'm going to keep on running because the winner don't quit on themselves. And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you for listening the day after. Callers, be patient. We will get to you, 855-752-4842. Matt Rothschild in studio with me and on the stream, Dr. Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy and Justice Studies at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. You might remember him. He was here last night, yesterday. Thank you, Harvey, once again. I got to tell you, watching the debate last night, I was kind of undecided until I heard Trump's closing statements, Harvey. What was your takeaway?
Wait, you were undecided until the closing statement? Have I entered the twilight zone here?
Yes, man. Hey, man, thanks for joining us. Wow, what a debate, man. What was the big takeaway for you, Harvey?
Okay, well, before that, I just have to say hello to Matt. Matt and I haven't seen each other in years, okay?
So oh, nice.
This is like a reunion.
Yeah, get the band back together.
There you go. Great to see you, Harvey.
Right. Good to see you. Believe me. Very good to see you. So here, you know, clearly that was a remarkable prosecution of Donald Trump.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if you've already mentioned all that. I mean, to the point where I stopped almost listening to what she was saying, because although, in fact, she had my wife and me in hysterics, practically. OK, but it's also the case that I tried to figure out not what he was saying, because he was gibber, you know, he was blah, 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 a lot. I was trying to figure out what's actually in his mind right now. Mm. What kind of revenge might he be planning if he should be, you know, lucky enough to win? And that's what concerned me. No, there's no question that last night, anyone who walked away failing to see what had happened, then they were already mesmerized by Donald Trump, and there's just no way to get through. But unfortunately, I don't mean to bring bad news, there was a story today in the New York Times that they did follow-ups with undecided and non-committed kinds of voters, and it wasn't as clear to them as it was to us how they should be moving towards the Democrats. That is, that a number of them said that she still wasn't giving them enough information about what she would do.
Right.
Okay, that's first of all.
Yep.
And that, in fact, oddly enough, as vile a character as he came across as to anyone of, you know, sound mind and body, they actually thought he was clearer about what he would do. How can you explain that kind of thing? But this is the other thing. I came away excited by the possibility that she has far more gumption than I had realized. That was great. But I also came away worried about the fact that, indeed, she didn't say that much about how we would go forward. So she's got to lay out I'm not even asking for specific policies. I'm asking for a vision and a series of initiatives that would address that, okay? And that's what disappointed me last night. I was thrilled, believe me, thrilled by what I saw. But when I thought about it afterward on reflection, I was a little concerned that she got away with the prosecution without necessarily offering the inspiration. That was just my take.
Dr. Harvey K., I think you're absolutely right. And hopefully there will be another debate. Apparently the Harris campaign is already asking for one. But I'm not clear. On their website, they have some policy positions. She brought up the homeowners effort, a child care credit, those kinds of things. She did broach some of those issues. But I don't know. I think as a general rule, if you're just going to look and tune into this debate and see the mannerisms and see the energy and see the interaction and see how how Trump and Kamala Harris addressed each other, addressed the questions, addressed, a difficult situation and challenging each other. I don't know if you really get down in the weeds when you see someone just blowing up like that, Harvey, and someone like Kamala Harris acting very presidential, being very methodical and normal. And I'm not saying emotionless. Certainly there was emotion, but she kept it under wraps. And the hysterical person on that stage was Donald Trump. And I think that comes across more than whether or not there's going to be, what the tax rate should be on capital gains.
And by the way, that is never what I would have been calling for, okay? As you can imagine. But and by the way, I do have to say that the look on her face every time he lied, exaggerated, or perverted the truth, the look on her face alone was reason to vote for her, yeah. I believe.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it was absolutely fantastic. No, what I'm getting at is this is not, I mean, I had hoped that this Democratic Party, especially as everyone talked about the fact that she would go beyond Biden, that this would be more, as you can imagine where I'm going, that this would be more of a return to the FDR tradition.
Yeah.
That it would be thinking big. I think the journalists are not asking the question about what do you mean when people say, well, we don't know what she's going to do. They're looking for some grand vision, perhaps. And along with that, a series of really major initiatives. Do I mean a Green New Deal? I don't know about it. I don't know. But I do mean, for example, that she didn't say enough about healthcare when she granted that healthcare was a right. So that's the kind of thing that, in other words, okay.
So she brought up, but she did say it. I thought about you, Harvey. She did bring it up as a right, but of course didn't follow up with a specific policy agenda or priority, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly my point. And Walz back in the convention said health and housing were human rights. Yeah. Well, were rights every American should have. I mean, a little imagination might have said life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What does it take to secure those in the 21st century? And this is what we're going to do. In other words, if you use the historical references that people know instinctively, that might help them understand where we're going. I'm not just a historian. I made this argument for years, and I think the Democrats turned their backs not only on the working class, but on American history. And I had hoped that we would be going there this time.
But Harvey, Matt, they're saying the right words. Now, certainly the policy's got to follow. And to quote Carville, I think it says, you got to win. You got to win first. Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, I think she was playing kind of small ball, though, but it was good small ball. I mean, yeah. She's talking about help with prescription drugs. She talked about bringing the insulin down, and she'd do it with every prescription drug, and that was helpful. She talked about $25,000 for those wanting to buy a new house. Of course, housing prices are astronomical right now. That mm-hmm. will get you only 10% of the way. But, you know, she has talked, and Walls has talked about doing something about rent gouging, and I hope she'll come back to that. Because
when the question of, well, actually, I'm glad you used the word gouging, Matt, because when the question of inflation came up, she could have turned to the American people and said, you want to know why it is that we've got inflation? There has been corporate gouging on every front.
Greedflation, baby. Yep.
And by the way, talking about, look, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I mean, I'm not I'm not a champion of political analysis, but it is the case that she was so effective and so assertive and so great a prosecutor. Just think if she had attended to the possibilities before her of trying to bring Americans to her, not merely to impress them, but to join her in this election and new administration. That's all.
I think the $6,000 child credit, though, is going to speak to a lot of parents. That'll help them.
Oh, absolutely. But again, it's not every single thing. Yes.
It's not a grand vision like you're talking about, Harvey, and I agree. You know, I'm with you on the Economic Bill of Rights. Totally with you on that.
Thank you.
Yes, Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy and Justice Studies at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay. I mean, if this is the worst, we're talking about actual policies, getting, you know, following up with the Economic Bill of Rights that we talked about yesterday. I'm down. Maybe another debate, a little more time. I think she definitely took a few more steps towards the White House, and it was great to see Donald Trump explode on the stage, Harvey.
Thank you for having me on, and if they do the next debate, let's definitely talk beforehand and afterwards.
We will do that. Thank you, Harvey. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Folks, the Dom Salvia Show. Phone lines open. Go on there next. 855-752-4842. Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Call. Phone lines open, going there shortly. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Matt Rothschild hanging out with me for the day. Thank you, Matt. Hey, that number is also a text line, dude. Got a couple people texting in. WMDX texter says, why are the immigrants eating our pets if they're getting all the supposedly free money from the government? I thought they were living high on the hog. Bacon. A couple more from the text line, and I like this one. Steady Eddie, Dom, Maggie, Matt, and Harvey, celebrate for one day and one day only. Please don't go totally nuts on the Kamala Harris debate performance. It was excellent, but Hillary Clinton, Al Gore, John Kerry also outperformed their debate opponents and lost their elections. Sincerely, Eddie.
Give us some pleasure. I mean, let us at least bathe in the great
success.
We can have today. Today.
How about through the weekend? Come on.
We've got tonight. we'll take it. Eddie, certainly the day, maybe through the weekend. You know, we'll play it better. But you're absolutely right. I mean, nothing's over. The polls are still tight. Marquette University Law School did drop today. I think if I read that properly, Harris was up by 4. Baldwin's up over Hovde by 4, both within the margin of error of like 4.7 or something like that. But rather be on that side, Matt, than on the other side.
And it's a flip from the last poll in July that had Harris down by 1.
And it's already old polling, because after that debate performance, I cannot imagine Donald Trump's going to surge.
Yeah, so you had Harris 52-48 here before the debate, and she's going to be better than that. But yeah, I mean, it's not worth, you know, you shouldn't say, we got this. I heard. Right. I mean, it's very far from that. It's still going to be an incredibly close election.
Yep.
It's vitally important for everyone to get their friends and family members to register to vote and get them out
and
to vote.
And this helps them, I think.
This
I mean,
does.
Look what Donald Trump said. Look at how he acted. Look at what he says. Here's the other one. Here's Kamala Harris. You look at what she says. Look at her experience. And just compare it. And you want to talk policies, we'll get to you callers. We do want to talk policy. But if the policy, what's Donald Trump's policy on the Affordable Care Act, for example? You know what I'm saying?
He's got a concept of a policy.
I got a plan. I got a plan for a plan. It's going to be great. It's coming out in 2 weeks. 855-752-4842. Let's get to it. Peggy from Brooklyn, Wisconsin. Welcome to the Dom Salvia Show, Peggy. What do you got for us?
I totally agree with Harvey on everything he said. I think Kamala did an okay job. She will not. And I say not because I talk to a lot of people today. She will not win the conservatives without specifics. And I mean, we need numbers.
Like such as, you got an example, like specifics on what, for example?
Medicare, rent. How are you going to go after these gougers? They just got done talking. Maggie Dawn just got done talking about the, we have laws on the books about price gouging. Mm-hmm. Why are we not enforcing them? Why are we not enforcing them? Don't make more laws. Fix the laws we got and make them toe the line. And conservatives are not. I talked to a lot of conservatives today, and every one of them said to me, if I don't get specifics, I'm not even going to vote.
Let me ask you this, Peggy. With those conservative friends of yours, were they asking for, like, did they have any specifics that they could compare? Well, here's what Kamala said about price gouging and rent, but she doesn't have any specific legislation to follow it up. Did they compare, like, what Donald Trump's plan would be to address those issues? Because certainly he doesn't have any, right?
Right, and he's had 9.5 years to come up with a plan for Medicare, I get it, or for medical. But I totally, totally agree. She has to come up with some specifics. Healthcare is huge, 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 huge. And that's not only for students, but that's also for the elderly.
Now, Peggy, in that regard, Donald Trump said, he tried to kill the Affordable Care Act, and then he tried to save it.
Yeah,
I mean, so do those conservative friends of yours, can they articulate what the former president's position is on healthcare? Like, what is he going to do? I mean, I guess I'm getting to the point, Peggy, is they seem to be asking for specifics from the person that they might consider voting for, but not from the guy that they already voted for who just melted down on stage.
They know where Trump stands. He's just going to follow along with Obamacare. They know that. They need something better. They need better numbers.
All right. Well,
and I worked in the medical field for 47 years. I totally get what
you're
talking about.
Yeah, you know what you're talking about, Peggy.
And Peggy, if I might, Matt Rothschild here. I mean, the one thing she said on healthcare that I thought was great is, do you really want to go back pre-Affordable Care Act where you can be kicked off your health insurance if you have a pre-existing condition?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a cancer survivor.
Yeah.
I need my health care.
That was excellent.
Yeah. And so I think she made a real solid point there. I mean, everyone has... either a pre-existing themselves or knows someone in their family who's had a pre-existing condition and needs coverage badly.
Yeah. Thank you for the call, Peggy. Appreciate it. 855-752-4842. Let's keep going down the line. Dick from Madtown, you're up. Welcome, Dick. What do you got for us?
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank ABC for at least halfway, maybe doing something like Real Journalists last night.
Yeah.
It was a first step because it opened the door for all of this to happen last night, but I'm going to go with a sports analogy from last night.
Okay.
This guy looked like Muhammad Ali, okay, in his prime against the worst canvas back club boxer in the gym they could find and drag out.
Glass Joe.
I could have been a contender when you weren't. But, I mean, and it bordered on elder abuse at the end. That was the only thing bad about it.
Come on. Rhetorical elder abuse. Dick, it seemed to me, and thanks for the call, man, it seemed to me she handled everything that he tried to throw at her very well. I thought she handled the questions well, and in that regard, acknowledging that necessarily she didn't answer all the questions that, you know, again, that's how these things work. You ask a question, Matt, and they'll give you the answer they want. But she hinted on it, addressed a few things, spun it around and brought up what she wanted to say and got to her points about Donald Trump and what he would have done. I just thought it was, once she got rolling, it was just, It was masterful, man.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, like you, when a politician's asked a question, I at least want you to wave at an answer before you go into the spiel that you really want to say.
Right.
And she didn't do that at the beginning, and I think that's when she was the most nervous. But yeah, she got her legs, and she was, I mean, I thought it was just so gratifying, so satisfying to finally see someone put this bully in his place. This is a guy who's always been able to either bribe or get his lawyers to harass or bully people out of trouble. He's never had to take responsibility for anything. He didn't take responsibility last night again for January 6th, which was shocking and grotesque. But look, she put the calm in Kamala last night.
Yeah,
and she was
right.
Kamala, this guy was frantic and ranting and raving. And I think he just turned off whole swaths of the population just on style.
Yeah,
and on substance, he had nothing.
And I think that's the most important part, at least at this juncture. And I get Peggy's point, you know, people are going to want some details. Hey, great idea. How are you going to do it? And that's a fair question. I'm down with that. But then you should also ask Donald Trump those very same questions and get, you know, and expect very specific answers from him as well. Because, of course, he doesn't have those. He doesn't have those. And at this point, in my impression is what's most important right now is the getting to know you. You know, if you're going to get up and meet someone, hey, here's my friend and going to get to know you, and they come off as a total jerk, do you even care what they got to say about anything else? You know what I'm saying? You can't even get to that point. And all of a sudden, here's Kamala Harris, and here's my experience. Here's my background. Here's some of the things I want to try to do. Here's what I object to from the last guy, and here's why I want to move forward in a cogent, competent, confident way. And yeah, the contrast was just, it was so bare.
You know, it was a job interview. I've hired people. I'm sure you've
hired people.
Right. Yeah, these two people coming in for a job. They're the last two people on the pile. You threw everyone else in the wastebasket. And this guy is going off in ridiculous directions. He's giving the same answer about immigration to every single question that you ask. I mean, you would think there was something seriously wrong with the guy. And then you have this other person who obviously studied. You know, she's prepared. She's smart. She's competent. She's able. She's calm. I mean, who would you hire?
And she talked about the American people.
She talked not only about them, she talked directly to them
which he
never did. And he just ran down the country and said, you know, we're in a hole. We're terrible. We're in decline. We're dying. Israel's going to be off the map. You know, just stuff that he just pulled out of nowhere. And I don't think a majority of Americans want that negative vision. And she proposed a sunnier, more optimistic, vision for the country beyond the divisiveness. And all he brought last night was more divisiveness.
Right. More of a reason to move forward. He exemplified the problem.
If you didn't know why she keeps saying turn the page, you got a good idea the last night.
If you didn't know, now you know. 855-752-4842. Tom from Madison, you are next. Welcome, Tom. What do you got for us?
Hey, thanks a bunch. I was driving back to Madison from Chicago last night, so I could only listen to it on the radio.
Yeah.
And I was going nuts because to me it seemed like Trump's volume was so much louder. And no matter how incoherent he was, he seemed to be getting a pass all the time from the moderators. He was able to respond to more things than Harris did. In fact, there's one point where Harris said, hey, he said this twice. Can I finally get a chance to respond?
Yeah.
And I was so disappointed till I got home and watched the debate and watched her wipe the floor with him. It was fantastic. It really reminded me of Kennedy-Nixon, where if you listen to it, you had one concept of it, and if you watched it, it was totally other. And some comics said, I wish I could remember who it was, they said, Trump is now in the fat Elvis stage. He just looked horrible. That's the thing you couldn't see, obviously, on the radio. He just glared. And when she walked over and said, shook his hand, said, Kamala Harris, I think she owned that stage every moment after that.
Yes.
It was masterfully done.
It was. Thanks for the call and the observation, Tom. Hadn't thought about that because, of course, we were watching it. And the body language... I think Kamala Harris, she nailed it. I mean, she did. The smiles, the expressions, you know, when it was a serious topic, and I was buying it, Matt, when she was somber and talking about the challenges of women that had to, you know, get on a plane with strangers and go get, you know, their health care.
Yeah. Or the woman who's bleeding out in the parking lot.
Oh my God. Right.
Or the 11-year-old incest victim,
yeah,
having to carry.
I mean, very serious and terrible, you know, consequences of these laws, and you could feel it from her.
Yeah, I mean, that was a very strong answer she gave. But also, in defense of ABC, they didn't give him a pass on January 6th. They didn't give him a pass on 9 years. Where's your health care plan? And he said, I have a concept of a plan, which I think is going to be the takeaway line of the night. I mean, every student is going to say, I have a concept of my homework, not hand their homework.
I've got a concept of a show we're going to do eventually sometime. Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a tough job, but that's why they do it. That's why ABC does it. I thought they did a fine job. I thought perhaps they let Trump go a little longer in some spots, but I also thought they kind of held him to it, and maybe they didn't hold Kamala to as much of answering a specific question. But, you know, Trump had some things to do with that, too, because he'd spin off on his, and he had a chance to retort. He'd go off on a tangent, and then, you know, the moderators aren't going to bring it back. Now you're on the next thing. Now she can respond to that. And to Tom's point, and this was something I really took note of at the time, when Donald Trump stood up there and screaming from the rooftops, he's coming for your guns. They're taking all your guns. And it's, no, they're not. He said it once. I think her mic was off. She retorted, but you couldn't hear it. He said it again, and that's when she brought it up, and they moved on. I was like, oh, no, Kamala, don't. And then they came back with their next question. She listened to the question. She let him say it. Then she said, yes, I'll answer that, but let me retort to these comments that Donald Trump said. I am not coming to take your guns. Tim Walz and I are gun owners. So she let it go. She's professional about it. She knew it was in the back of her mind. She wanted to address it. She said her piece, and then she went on and actually addressed the next question like a human being. And so I thought all in all, the moderators were good. Certainly Kamala Harris won the day, and Donald Trump was everything we thought he would be.
And the more he talked, the more he hurt himself. So he could go on longer than she was. That was fine by me.
He had more talking time than she did, but I saw her. She was just like, yep. Keep talking. This is the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Coming back with more of your calls and some sound from last night's debate. To the Dom Salvia Show the day after, 855-752-4842. Going back to the lines, you know, we talked about Fat Elvis. Tom brought up, or last call brought up, Elvis was 42 years old when he died. I mean, Trump's 78. Trump's almost twice as old as Fat Elvis.
Yeah, and it's just amazing given his diet that he keeps on going. I mean, the guy lives on McDonald's and Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Only the good die young, man. 855-752-4842. Let's get to it. Who's the most patient here? Angie from Monroe, you're up. Welcome, Angie. What do you got for us?
Hi, yeah. I just want to say that I like to go through the comments section through the Trump stuff. And someone was saying that Kamala cheated because she knew the questions. I was like, yeah, she didn't prepare because she's never been a prosecutor, the attorney general of California, by the way. And then this is just like her job to know the answers and to be able to talk right away and answer back. It's just her job. So, of course, she studied. And I'm sorry to say, but you're just sad that Trump looked like an idiot and you're just mad. And, oh, that made him so mad. It was just great. Just wanted to let you know.
Thank you, Angie, giving it back to him a little bit. You know, thanks for the call. It seems like we've been getting trolled this whole time. All of a sudden, the old doddering guy on stage. Now, all of a sudden, that's your candidate. Good luck with that.
And, you know, Angie is absolutely right. It didn't take a genius to figure out you're going to be asked a question on the economy. You're going to be asked a question on immigration. You're going to be asked a question on abortion. You're going to be asked a question on Gaza. You're going to be asked a question on you know, these obvious foreign policy issues. So, of course, she prepared. And that was one of the things that I found most gratifying. You know, here's a very intelligent woman who's very serious about her job. She studies. And looked like Trump didn't study at all and was just going to wing it.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely arrogance, yes. Arrogance and narcissism.
And then we got to that guy, the power again of the White House and the nuclear football and all the powers of the executive. That's a terrible idea. He's getting worse and worse. And the, how the megas and the Republicans are dealing with their grief. Cause that's what this is. You know, when you start saying, well, she had the answers. She had all the questions, you know what I mean?
Bargaining.
Yes.
Denial.
You know what I'm saying, right? Eventually, you'll get to the point that you don't want. She's just better than your candidate. And she allowed for you to vote for her. She wants you to vote for her. You don't have to be a person of faith to recognize that it's not the government's decision to determine whether or not a woman can do with her body what she will.
And she recognized and honored those people of
yes,
faith.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, I
and
know,
the military. I thought that was it was very good. You know, we've talked about, I'm sorry to interrupt, Matt. No, we talked about the how this campaign has taken back the patriotism and the love of country and those themes that for so long were just hoarded by the Republicans. And all of a sudden, with a flip of a switch and just talking about it, being real about it, and contrasting, you know, her style with Trump, you know, the suckers and losers and those things. I mean, it was great. And I think, you know, addressing the people of faith and addressing those with the patriots and those with love of country and service to the American people, you know, Kamala for the people, that kind of thing. I think that goes a long way beyond just, you know, a Democratic base.
Right. Love of country, love of the military, love of the Constitution.
Oh, there's a concept.
Yeah. Love of democracy and an expansive definition of freedom. I mean, she's
right.
Her campaign's been brilliant in recapturing the word freedom. There's no reason to give freedom or the flag to the far right.
855-752-4842. Cindy from Appleton. Welcome, Cindy. What do you got for us?
Well, first of all, let me preface this by saying I could not watch the orange-faced, marmalade-faced, narcissistic criminal, so I didn't watch the debate last night.
But you missed out, though, Cindy.
I don't know. Anyway, I know who I'm voting for.
Right.
But what I'm concerned about is I know he did not turn any of his supporters off. But I'd be curious to know if anybody's going to do any kind of a polling with independent people after this to see if it swayed any of the independents, because that's who we need to connect with. It's not the idiots that support him. It's not the staunch Democrats that are going to support Walz and Harris. It's the independents, the ones in between. And I don't know how anybody can be undecided at this point. But I just wonder if anybody's going to do any kind of a polling now to find out where the independents are swinging, because that will be the telltale sign.
Yeah, great point. I'm sure those will be coming. And I know Marquette University Law School dropped theirs today. Unfortunately, you know, this is from data from last week. So there will be more polling, most certainly. I don't know if the focus groups are really a thing, but it's also not just the independents. It's also the folks that don't vote very often.
Well, and the thing that sticks in my mind is, you know, the polls, they only poll registered voters or likely voters. So first-time voters aren't in there. And I think there are millions of young women who are between the ages of 18 and 24, have never voted in a presidential election, who are going to register and vote, and overwhelmingly they're going to vote for Harris. And that's going to make the margin for Harris greater than it appears right now in the polls. That's my hope. And Taylor Swift's going to help that too.
I was just going to ask you, Matt, the Taylor Swift. Well, and Jess, you're a little bit younger, maybe more of a Taylor Swift fan than I. Does this endorsement, which she put out on Instagram yesterday to her millions and millions of followers, encourage, and a very thoughtful statement, I thought, and she signed it childless cat lady. Jess, you think it has any impact?
I think it will. I think that there is an entire block of voters who are around my age who have felt really disconnected and really disenfranchised from the entire political experience.
Right.
Not seeing, not hearing anyone who sounds like us. And I think having someone who has just led such a cultural revolution come out and say so very clearly, I watched that. I saw what was going on. And I know a lot of you did, too. So pay attention. This is what I'm doing. I'm not telling you that you have to do this. Do your own research.
Yes.
Do all of this. But make a plan and vote. I think that's powerful.
You know, I think it's going to help with that cohort that Jess is talking about so powerfully, and also with the moms and maybe some of those dads. I know, you know, Trygve Olsen always talks with Todd Albaugh about these Dobbs dads. You know, some of those Dobbs dads are going to be hearing from their daughters who really love Taylor Swift.
Every little bit helps. Matt Rothschild, you helped sticking around for another hour. Certainly appreciate it. Jess, thank you for your comments. Folks, we want your comments as well. Join us on the lines, 855-752-4842, the day after. Some of the very important topics that we've decided to go upon, the January 6th comments, the abortion comments, the Affordable Care Act. We're going to get to all of those, plus more of your calls, 855-75-CIVIC. The Happier Happy Hour is next.